Welcome to the Wonk Lab podcast from Science Progress, where we talk about the intersections between science, technology, and progressive public policy. I'm managing editor Andrew Pratt, and today we're talking about technology and open government. This is a big issue for the Obama administration and was the focus of the very first memorandum issued by the president and has culminated in a large initiative launched last Thursday. Joining us to talk about it and some of the implications it may have for citizens and scientists alike is Beth Novak, who is the Deputy Chief Technology Officer in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Beth, first of all, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, last week, the administration unveiled its new open government initiative. And I just want to ask, what are the goals and how are you going to know if this initiative is a success?
The president set out the goals for us on January 21st when he issued his first executive memorandum in office, a memorandum on transparency and open government, in which he called for creating a government of unprecedented openness, one that's characterized by greater transparency, participation, and collaboration. So those three values really inform the administration's vision for where we're moving towards in terms of creating a government that is more effective because it is more open, because it's more collaborative, because it's more engaged in soliciting the input and expertise of the American people in helping to craft policy and in helping the federal government to achieve its mission.
So you're talking about soliciting ideas from everyday Americans. How is this going to end up benefiting regular citizens throughout the country?
Right, so I'm glad you asked the question. This is not just transparency or openness for its own sake. The reason we want to have transparency is in order to create greater accountability in government, first and foremost. So when we take a look at a project like recovery.gov, for example, the goal is to enable everyday Americans to track where the spending of recovery dollars is going, the projects that are getting built, how that money is getting used to create jobs, to create new infrastructure, to create new opportunities. When we talk about creating participation and we launch a new project like the new regulations.gov exchange website, which was announced also with the launch of the Open Government Initiative, what we're doing there is not simply creating an opportunity to participate, but ensuring that we're getting the best expertise so that we're making the best quality decisions about healthcare reform, about environmental sustainability, about economic and fiscal stability, that we're actually making decisions that are informed by the best possible science, by the best possible data, and that's to everyone's benefit. When we talk about collaboration, getting government officials to work together, both across the federal government, across state and local government, and across between the public and private sector, just to take an example, one of the projects that was announced last week was also the rollout of something called the Aristotle Project, where the Defense Department is creating a, what I like to think of as a Facebook for government, a system for connecting scientists and technologists to one another to share and trade expertise. That benefits ordinary people because you have people with the right expertise working together and collaborating to do their work as well as possible. You reduce duplication and waste and wasted money and taxpayer dollars when you can have a way to find out who's actually working on what. You don't duplicate effort or repeat the same projects over again if you can actually learn who is doing what within the agency. So these initiatives are all designed not only to deepen the quality, enhance the quality of our democracy, but they're really designed to improve and further political priorities around the environment, around healthcare, around education, around defense, and economic growth and creation of jobs. So it's really meant to be something that benefits as wide an array of people as possible, across a wide range of issues.
Now, transparency is a topic that's also come up in some of the recent discussions about scientific integrity, which is another project of the administration that's being managed out of your Office of Science and Technology Policy. What is this open government and transparency effort going to do for the scientific community specifically?
This whole issue of how do we create greater transparency and greater participation, I think science integrity and really the scientific information is really key to this. In other words, when we talk about creating greater data transparency, for example, we put up a project like data.gov, which launched as part of the Open Government Initiative last week, and where we make available easy to access, easy to download, and searchable data feeds from across the government. A lot of that information is statistical, scientific information relating to everything from the environment to healthcare. If we don't make it easy to find that information, it's very difficult then for the scientific community to do research on it, to analyze it, to assess the quality, and then in turn to hold government accountable. Similarly, when we talk about creating greater and more opportunities for public participation, I want to be very clear to emphasize that we're not talking only about mass-scale participation from everybody about any topic, but really about soliciting expertise and experience from people with specific knowledge, such as the scientific and technology community. One of the projects we also showcased on last week's launch on the web on the Open Government website is a project called Peer to Patent. That project is one run by the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and it's designed specifically to get better scientific information from the technical community, from the science community, to help inform decision-making by the USPTO. So when we talk about these efforts, it relates very much to scientific integrity, because we can't ensure that there is good quality science information unless we make the data transparent and available. And in turn, if we don't create the opportunities for feedback and for input and for participation, we don't have the opportunity to really get the input and the help and the expertise of the science community in the way that we make decisions. So scientific integrity is really very much a part of this open government effort, focused specifically on the best ways of getting scientific information, good quality information, into the way we make decisions. But these things are really part and parcel, I think, of the same thing. And I'm glad you asked the question, because they really do go hand in glove.
You were speaking a moment ago about the Peer to Patent project, which was sort of a way of crowdsourcing the research that goes into patent applications. And you have firsthand experience with that project. Can you talk a little bit about some of the lessons that you might have brought from that into the current open government initiative?
Sure, you're absolutely right. I worked on that project as a professor prior to coming into the administration. And it's very much some of the lessons learned from that project, which is very much still in pilot mode, and where we're still learning from it, that's informed, I think, a lot of the work that we're developing now on open government and on bringing innovation into government. I think, the first lesson is the one sort of that I alluded to earlier, which is that the intelligence and expertise that we need to make the best quality decisions is not located exclusively within Washington. We don't have a monopoly on all the good information that we need to make decisions. And so when we can use new technology to, as you say, crowdsource or gather that distributed knowledge from around the country, from engineers or scientists sitting in, from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, who may have good information, we improve the quality of the way that we make decisions. That means if we're going to do that, we need, first of all, the technological platforms and the processes that allow us to ask people for help and engagement in the way that we make policy. But at the same time, we also need a tremendous culture shift. We need to get accustomed to, and I think that's one of the things we're seeing now with this administration, very firmly committed to this notion of listening and hearing and tapping the intelligence and expertise of the American people, as the president is wont to say. We need really a culture shift that allows us to say we don't have all the answers and we need to ask for help in finding that information. So this is really, the lesson is really that we have to design the processes, and that means, again, the tools and the process, as well as then the values that essentially drive us to being able to say, we want to get your expertise and input. We want to get your help with improving how we make decisions.
I want to dig into this distinction that you're making here between process and tools a little bit, because you've talked about this being a process in some other settings previously, but a lot of people in the transparency community, I think, have been talking about what kind of websites, what kind of interfaces, what kind of databases and data. And can you draw a little bit more of a distinction between how a process helps this effort and how tools might be secondary to that?
Yeah, so I think secondary may not be the right word. In other words, you need both of these things at the same time. Let me give you an example. What we rolled out last week on the White House website is a website, is a technological platform that allows us to take input into the crafting of open government policy. So instead of simply coming up with a strategy for how to become more transparent, participatory, and collaborative, we want to do that process of creating open government policy in an open way. So we set up a website, and we're using three different kinds of tools. Initially, what's running right now is a brainstorming process that uses a brainstorming piece of software, a platform, that allows us to generate good ideas for this policymaking process from the American people. We then move into a second phase in which we're going to use a blog as the technology to deepen that conversation and discussion. So the technology is, in the first case, it's a brainstorming platform. Then we're going to use a blog that takes comments, then we're going to use a wiki to enable people to collaborate in drafting together. But the process that overlies this is really, the first of all, the design of a three-stage public consultation initiative where we're actually asking a set of questions. So regardless of the technology, we start out by framing the conversation by saying, here's what we're actually looking to learn, by taking input from people over a certain number of days, a number of days that's hopefully long enough to get a lot of good ideas and short enough to allow us to use the information that we're getting and have it feed into the development of policy. So you need this combination of thinking through what are the goals that we're trying to achieve, how do we actually achieve them, what are the questions that we need to ask, and then to implement that process, if you will, through tools that allow us to achieve that, those end results.
Okay, that makes sense to distinguish between those. That's clear. Let me ask a question that's come up in some of the coverage before and after the rollout of the new Open Government Initiative, which is that some of the discussions with the stakeholders leading up to this have actually taken place behind closed doors. And I wanted to ask, you know, why did some of those meetings about the transparency process have to happen outside of public view?
So first of all, the meetings that happened, any meetings that happened up until now as part of the planning of this initiative, we have posted on our website, on a page that we call From the Inbox, is all of the reports and submissions and anything that anyone sent us to read, to think about in planning this process. We also have posted a feature on the website that we call Listening Sessions, in which we've listed who's been at those, any meetings that we've had, who came, what was discussed, initiatives that we went to, speeches that we attended, including an event at CAP, for example, posted on that website so that everybody has a window into what happened at any meetings that took place up until now. So by necessity, part of the initial work we had to do was to listen, was to talk to people who wanted to talk to us, was to go out and attend conferences and events to hear what the issues were so that we could get a handle around developing a strategy and developing and designing this process for creating open government recommendations. But I think you're absolutely right that for far too long, too much of the way that we've made policy has happened behind closed doors without adequate opportunities to participate in by the American public in providing expertise into the process, and also without adequate rationale or feedback at the back end when decisions are finally made that actually justify and explain why a certain decision was taken instead of another path taken, for example. So part of what we're doing here is really trying to model out what we hope is a better way of working, and that's going to require, frankly, some innovation and some experimentation to try a process like this one and see how it works. Another, when I say this one, I mean the one we're using on whitehouse.gov/open, as well as other processes like it that we'll use in the future that agencies are trying to learn better ways of soliciting expertise in a manageable and useful fashion.
Well, so if someone is listening to this discussion here and they have some ideas, what should they do? How should they get involved?
So, if they have ideas for how we should think about creating a more participatory, transparent, collaborative government, they should go to www.whitehouse.gov/open and follow the link to the brainstorming phase, which is ongoing right now. If they're listening to this a week from now, they can follow the link to the discussion phase of that process. And a few weeks hence, there'll be a brainstorming phase. If they prefer, of course, we have information up in order to mail us, to email us, to reach us by other means for those people who don't have access to or feel less comfortable using the web as a mechanism for engaging. But we really want to strongly encourage people to participate in an open process, because what's really important there is not only that we hear them, in other words, that they are reaching people in the administration with responsibility for making decisions about open government policy, but that people are listening to and talking with each other so that they're refining those good ideas with each other's help and with each other's input, so that the ideas that we're getting, the input that we're getting, has been through as deliberative a process as possible. We also have an email address that's available to people who want to submit reports, submissions, documents, etc. A lot of groups, such as CAP, for example, are preparing and have prepared major reports that they want to submit. And for that, we have an email address, opengov@ostp.gov.
Well, you opened up the process just before a holiday weekend, but I wonder, has anything caught your eye that's come in over the past few days?
Oh, people, I think a holiday weekend is an ideal time. It's when people have more time because they're at home, because they're on the beach, because they're reading this weekend. So, in fact, one we've already had over the last week, we've had 577 submissions divided into categories about transparency, participation, collaboration, as well as people who are addressing issues such as capacity building and legal and policy challenges or impediments that might be getting in the way of moving towards a more innovative government. Things have already caught my eye. I think what's caught my eye is really the substantive quality overall of the conversation, that we have people making very, very thoughtful proposals on everything from how do we move, how do we take the value of data transparency and move it into practice and actually accomplish it? How do we actually begin to bring greater transparency and engagement to the legislative process as well as to the rulemaking process? We have suggestions that have come in that are both government-wide that relate to everything from records management to public participation, to FOIA. And then we have also very specific agency recommendations that look at specific issues that, again, are ways of moving towards greater openness in government. So what we'll be doing over the next couple of days as the brainstorming process winds down is sifting through these 577 ideas that have come in and using this as input to develop then a discussion that will run over the next 2 weeks, beginning on Monday, where we really dive into some of the more difficult issues, the challenging issues, the hard issues, the ones that seem to really preoccupy people. We're also going to be feeding into this process input that we've gotten up until now, including through online conversation with government employees, where we've also gotten a whole series of good ideas from people, officials working throughout the government, and taking their ideas and public participation on the brainstorming process, then continue an open conversation and dialogue through discussion over the next 2 weeks.
It sounds like a lot to do.
It does sound like a lot to do, but first of all, it's important to do it. And second of all, it's a manageable amount of feedback, which is what I'm excited about. When you run a kind of structured process like this, and again, you take the tools that are well-designed with a careful framing and way of establishing the process, what we're seeing is, again, a lot of targeted input that's not about sort of everything under the sun. We're looking for specific ideas to inform a policymaking process about transparency, participation, and collaboration. Turns out, and the old adage is true, if you ask a hard question, you get a really good answer. And so when you ask specifically about transparency policy, you get a lot of input on the question of how do we achieve transparency policy. We've gotten input on the site that's unrelated to the questions that are asked from those people who will share, use the, you know, the platform that's available to them to share whatever ideas on their mind that's unrelated. But again, we have a very specific set of goals here, and so we're able to focus on the input that is directly targeted to and relevant to the question at hand, which is crafting open government policy.
Well, and as sort of a way of bringing all this together, once you have digested all of this and moved past these next couple of stages of discussion, how does this get coordinated across the executive branch of the government? Who is in charge of pushing this towards the agencies and getting people to buy in?
Good question. So the I think there are really three parts of this answer. First, this information that we're getting will be fed into a process creating a set of policy recommendations on open government that will be collected and collated and organized, if you will, by a combination of the Chief Technology Officer's Office within OSTP, the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House, the Office of Management and Budget, and the General Services Administration. Under the President's original memorandum, these three organizations are tasked with developing these policy recommendations. That feeds into a process of creating policy guidance, policy directives, if you will, by the Office of Management and Budget, which will then direct the agencies for how to implement open government policy. That's number one. Number two, as part of the Open Government Initiative, the President called upon each of the cabinet departments to adopt, I have to say, not new and more open government innovations. Everybody's already doing something towards creating greater transparency or participation and collaboration. And what you'll see is a lot of agencies already stepping up to the plate and continuing to step up to the plate to create and roll out new projects and platforms that will help to move the agencies voluntarily towards greater participation. So whether it's strategies for releasing more of their agency data or new techniques for soliciting the public in the way that they make decisions or creating collaboration platforms that elicit expertise or innovations from employees or across the department, I think what you're going to see is a lot of those projects. We have some of the existing ones highlighted on the Innovations Gallery on the Open Government website, and you're going to see even more of those getting announced, I think, over the coming weeks and coming months. And the third way that this feeds in is really the answer to your question is that no one is in charge. Everyone is in charge, and no one is in charge of an issue like open government. The president has called for a government that is characterized by these three principles, and that means that it's everybody's responsibility at the same time that it is, there's a specific policy process that's driven by GSA, OMB, and OSTP. So I think what you're going to see, again, is not only cabinet departments but agencies but individuals within government looking at their own jobs and job descriptions and asking how they can become more open, how they can do their work with the benefit of new technology and new ways. We've had a really major sea change, a real culture shift that's been announced, an administration that's declared itself as committed to openness, committed to engagement. And so I think you're going to see a lot of changes in the way that people are working with or without centralized guidance and with or without specific mandates. I think you're going to see everybody, again, really stepping up to the plate to do their job as well as possible, using the tools that are now available to them and using the new processes that we're hopefully modeling out and hoping to helping to showcase on a website like whitehouse.gov/open.
Everyone's in charge, but no one's in charge. It sounds exciting.
Well, I hope that everyone is in charge is probably a better way to put it. We're all responsible. I don't like to give the sense that no one is in charge. I only mean that it's not the responsibility of any one person or any one office. Although I do want to say that on behalf of the Office of the Chief Technology Officer, we are deeply committed and deeply part of the fabric of this office is to drive innovation into government, to look at how we can use open government principles, again, tools, processes, and values working together to help to create the most effective government possible using whatever new tools and techniques and strategies are available to us in the arsenal and the new toolkit that we have as an internet-enabled society and an internet-enabled government.
Well, I know a lot of people are excited to see the fruits of those labors. Beth Novak, Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government at the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about this.
Thank you for having me.